Right now, we kick the hour off by welcoming in District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson. Senator Jacobson, we have a lot to discuss this morning.
It's been a busy week last week.
Yes, you can say that again. But first things first, how Nebraska Land Days treat you?
You know, it was a lot of fun. I always enjoy Nebraska Land Days. You know, it's one of the things you get used to. Some, a lot of people take for granted, but I got to tell you, it was really a lot of fun. We bring a lot of people to North Platte. I did see the heat map of where people came from, and that's just amazing. They're coming from all over the country.
Isn't that cool?
It is really cool.
That's a really cool map. I know the one that you're referencing, and yeah, that was awesome. But so, Senator, I think the first thing that we probably need to discuss here a little bit is back home here on the local front. And that's the great news that we learned from the Chamber and Development Corporation last week, that the state of Nebraska is going to receive or help allocate some funds for the rail park here in Lincoln County.
That's correct. And really what that letter did was it was really the confirmation of what we already knew. Really the big action took place in the legislature when we passed LB 1011, which was really a state funding bill. It was an annual budget adjustment bill. And basically the rail park bill, 788, got merged into that appropriation bill. So we knew this was supposed to happen, but you know, it's always nice to get the official letter from the DED that says it is definite, it's final, we can now move forward. Interesting fight. This week's newspaper article really deals with some of the behind the scenes on that. Huge deal for North Platte and the region. I look at Hershey. It's right outside of Hershey. People talk about it's really the Hershey North Platte Rail Park, but it's going to have an impact in the region, and really excited about it.
It's an impact that expands outside the district too. So
correct.
Your comment about getting that official confirmation, I go back to earlier when we were discussing this a couple months ago, and you had said the same thing. You had to have the votes on the floor and make sure nobody was trying to poach your application for that, and that's so true.
They sure tried.
That was probably the testiest I got during the legislature was when I found out there was an amendment in the process of being drafted that was going to reallocate those funds and basically eliminate the first-come, first-serve. And it was close. I mean, they did require that your application be filed electronically. You couldn't hand deliver it. That didn't mean anything. You had to electronically file the application. North Platte had theirs ready. Gary Pearson electronically submitted the application, and we were literally minutes ahead of Fremont. And then Blair and Grand Island followed them. And it was interesting, and the bill was very clear. It was going to be whoever submitted first would be able to get up to $30 million. Originally looked like there was only going to be $5 million funded. So what happened was we were able to go to the Appropriations Committee, and they were able to put an additional $50 million, or put $50 million into this fund instead of the five. So that got us, and we could take 60%, which was $30 million, the max. So that's how North Platte got to getting $30 million. And I can tell you there was a lot of consternation about that, and there were others that really felt like let's just let DED decide how it's going to be allocated. Well, we've seen all too often what happens when you just leave it to the discretion of someone on the eastern part of the state to allocate money out west.
Now, Senator Jacobson, we were talking on the phone a little bit Friday for a few moments about how there's a lot of people that put a lot of great work into this that aren't going to receive enough credit. And obviously, when you talk about that, at the top of the list is Gary Pearson from the Chamber.
Absolutely. We got to go back and think about the origin of this. This thing started about 4 years ago, the whole concept of the rail park. And it really started with Gary and a group of us that were invited out to Bailey Yard to meet with the leadership at the railroad. And they were doing a leadership change, and that's when we got the bad news that there were going to be some furloughs, and they were going to reduce what they were doing here in North Platte. They were going to have more trains going through, and we were going to lose some employment base. And so we very quickly jumped onto that and said, look, Gary, when he first came here as the economic development director and had been very successful in Sydney, It was because they had rail access. They could get rail sidings and bring industry in. Mm-hmm. And then he got here and realized that we couldn't get access to any rail spurs because the UP didn't want to slow down the traffic. So right away the pitch was, then if you're going to push the traffic on through, then how about a rail siding? And they said, yeah, we think we'd be open to that. So Gary continued to pursue that, and we were able to get commitment that we could get access to the yard with a rail siding. And then, of course, the Greenbrier site that had been built, they had shut that down. So that site's sitting over there next to Hershey. So one thing led to another in terms of trying to pull the pieces together. Gary really worked hard on drafting the terms of the bill, and then Mike Groney went ahead and Senator Groney submitted the bill originally for a rail park, and it was really designed for North Platte from the beginning, and all the other senators down there would tell you this was a North Platte bill, and it was really kind of designed with North Platte in mind, and that was done in 21, and then this last year 788 was really a funding bill to provide additional funding to fund this rail park, and by that time then that's when all these other communities decided to get on board and decide they wanted to kind of be a part of the game as well.
But disaster really did strike with Senator Groney's resignation for this bill. If Senator Brewer hadn't picked it up, this could have all been hogwash. It's all been dead.
That's the amazing thing is I was appointed on February 23rd, and it was interesting because you had to, that this was over President's Day weekend, mm-hmm. and so the Speaker had identified that any of the bills that were out there, someone either had to pick them up or they were just going to go away because we were short session, could be limited on time. So fortunately, Senator Mike McDonnell from Omaha picked up the sustainable beef bill, and Senator Brewer, who was a co-sponsor on the rail park bill, agreed to pick up the rail park bill. So then the next day when I was actually on the floor, I got with Senator Brewer right away, and we were able to work together. I became a co-sponsor, and he had other things he was working on, so kind of wanted me to really kind of work that, because again, it was really designed for North Platte and Hershey. But he was willing to step up and help accept the bill and shepherd the bill. And otherwise, if he would have passed on it, that bill would have gone away and we'd have nothing right now.
My goodness. And speaking of Senator Brewer, we were talking on the air a little bit late last week. I guess he's headed over to Ukraine. Was this something you were aware of, Senator Jacobson?
He's been there several times. I got to tell you, I remember speaking with him. I'd speak with him every day when we come in on the floor. He's just he's a great guy and truly, two Purple Hearts, really an amazing individual. He and I got to be friends early on in the legislative floor, and of course his big bill was constitutional carry, and mm-hmm. and so I co-sponsored that as well when I met with him. But I would tell you that the day that that the attack broke loose and that all happened, he was just beside himself. I mean, this guy was nearly in tears because so many people in Ukraine. He worked with a lot of these people, had been in contact with them over the weekend, and was hearing firsthand what was going on. And he's been asked to go over there a couple of times now to do training, sniper training, and other work. And he just doesn't quit. I mean, he's very focused on that, cares very, very deeply for the people in Ukraine, and you can't help but admire him.
Great Nebraskan, but you could argue he's even a better American and even better person. We're
that's
blessed
right.
to have him, that's for sure.
No, that's exactly right. He's done a remarkable job, and he's very passionate about the things he gets involved in. And so we got to be friends early, and I really enjoyed working with him.
Again, we have District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs of the Morning. And Senator Jacobson, one of the issues that you're very passionate about, obviously, is the respect for life, natural conception to natural death. And we know that in a number of ways with your personal stories you share with us as well, with you and the lovely wife. And obviously, Friday was a big day for pro-life advocates throughout our nation.
Well, it really was. I think that I'm a little taken back. I'm not surprised by the protests and so on going on around the country. And I would tell you that you know, many people look at this ruling as a huge win, and to some extent it is, but I think we need to understand what really took place here. What really took place was the Supreme Court ruled that there was really nothing in the Constitution that protected the right to an abortion, and so therefore, if the Constitution's not clear, then it gets thrown back to the states and for the people to decide how they want to rule on that. So that's really what happened, and so the Supreme Court did not rule that abortion was illegal. The Supreme Court ruled that the United States government, U.S. government, didn't really have jurisdiction, and that this now gets kicked back to the states. So each individual state is going to make their own decisions as to what their abortion laws are going to be. So we're going to have a real checkerboard approach to this. I think many of the Midwestern states are going to have varying restrictions, fairly significant restrictions on abortion. And then there are going to be blue states out there that are going to probably really make their abortion laws more open and more liberal. So abortion's still going to be here in the United States, but it's going to be left to the individual states to decide what those rules are going to be.
And here in Nebraska, this is promising news because it's no secret that this is a state that bleeds red, and we have pro-life advocates throughout every branch of government, all the way from the top of the governor's office to local government with county commissioners and city council.
That's correct, and I would just tell you that I know I hear a lot of statistics from people about, you know, the percentage of people that support abortion. I guess I'd like to see where their statistics are coming from, because I think that as you look across the state of Nebraska, even when you get into Lincoln and Omaha, you've got a significant number of people and that certainly have issues with it. And really, the details are what we have to discuss when we go to the special session. Clearly, there'll be one called. And it's really going to be a matter of what does the bill look like. They will not be a rewind of LB 933. The bill that gets brought will probably have some nuances to it. There are some things that in 933 that I wasn't wild about, and I think those will get cleaned up, and I think we'll ultimately have a bill that at least 33 senators are going to get on board with and say, we think this best represents our constituents in the state of Nebraska and their feelings.
It'll only take 33 to pass anything then, right?
Well, you need 33 to break a filibuster, and so that's why that number's significant. Normally, you would need 25 votes to pass a bill, but you need 33 votes to invoke cloture, which means to end debate and force a vote on the bill.
All right. So where are we looking at? Have you had any contact with Governor Ricketts or with Speaker Hilger since Friday, Senator Jacobson? Are we looking at a legislative session sometime soon? Or
It won't be soon. Okay. And I would just tell you that, and I spoke with the governor when he was out here for a town hall, but that's the last. And I've had a couple of conversations with him, but we've not focused on this particular issue. But I would tell you that I think logistically, I'm sure what he's looking at right now is tomorrow is election day in Lincoln for the special election to select the replacement for Congressman Fortenberry. Of course, you've got Senator Flood and Senator Panzing Brooks that are running for that seat. Mm-hmm. Now, this gets a little complicated because what's happening is there's a special election in Lincoln, or a special election that would in the first district, to select between one of those two to complete Senator or Congressman Fortenberry's term. But he was up for re-election in November.
So it'll turn right around to another election.
In November.
Yeah.
Correct. So they've been running a campaign since they were selected by their respective parties. And, of course, that's a partisan seat as mm-hmm. opposed to the legislature being nonpartisan. So there'll be a runoff election tomorrow. There'll be election tomorrow. Whoever wins that, then they're both sitting state senators. So whoever wins it will resign as a state senator and will take on that role as first district congressman. Then in November, and then the both of them will again run again for the November on the November 8th general election to get the 2-year term for that seat. So when you back up, how does that impact the legislature? Well, remember Senator Paul's passed away, and Senator Couts was now appointed by the governor. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have, the governor's going to have another seat to fill. It will either be Senator Flood's seat or it'll be Senator Panzing Brooks' seat, depending upon who wins this right. special election tomorrow. So I can assure you that the governor's not going to want to call a special session until that seat has been filled.
Sure. First things first. That's more pressing, obviously. And need to remind folks as well, Mike Flood, great pro-life advocate also. So the possibility of him not being in the Nebraska legislature might be a little concerning, but Governor Ricketts has proven with his appointments to the Nebraska legislature, and you're a living example of this, Senator Jacobson, his appointments are going to be pro-life.
I think you can pretty well count on that. Yes, that would be correct.
So remind us of the process, too. We know that the governor can call a special legislative session, or is it 33 senators can?
The 33 senators can also petition for a special session. Again, that's a special number 33, and I always like to go through the math on that. It takes 33 senators to invoke cloture. It also takes 33 to call for a special session. It takes 30 votes to override the governor's veto, and it takes 25 votes to pass a bill.
Okay. And those term-limited state senators that said their goodbyes on the legislative floor a few weeks ago will be back down there for the special session, too.
That's right. So. That's exactly right. And they think they all kind of surmised that was probably going to be the case.
Yeah.
Yes, so they'll all be back one more time for a little encore, if you will. and this will be and the special session will deal with just this one issue.
Yes, yes. Nothing else will be brought up. This will be the only issue on the agenda.
And correct.
It'll be tackled until it's completed. So
that's right. That's right.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Well, I would just tell you that there's still a lot going on. I'm excited about some of the projects that did get some ARPA funding. I was a little disappointed, you can read a little bit more about that. But the Nebraska Land A's did get their full allocation of $650,000. I would tell you that the projects that didn't get full funding were really kind of technicalities. Their timing was good when they submitted their applications, but because this was ARPA money, there were very clear limitations and expectations, and sometimes it's a little bit like grant writing. It's the art of the application, and did it have all the pieces? And unfortunately, there's no redos. In other words, they laid out what they wanted in it. If they didn't feel that it was in there, they being DED, didn't feel that it had all of the pieces that it needed, then they were going to allocate accordingly, and they've allocated all the money. So when you got your letter that said, here's what you received, you didn't have an opportunity to go fix it if you left something out. And so I haven't studied all of the details because it's water under the bridge at this point. This is a bill that was approved before I got to the legislature. It was done last year, and this was all allocated by the DED. So we were just really trying to find out, where we at, and trying to make certain that we got everything that we possibly could coming to this district. And so it's mixed feelings about how that worked out. But if you really look at the overall take in terms of what we got from the rail park out of state funding, and then also what we got in ARPA dollars for sustainable beef and these other shovel-ready projects, we still had a pretty good take. There's a lot of dollars that came to the district. I just think next year I'm going to want to make sure that we can do a lot more. And there's a lot of things that I think can be done to make certain that District 42 gets our fair share.
A lot going on back here in the home district, especially in the big North Platte City. Back here on the city front, Senator Jacobson, how do you feel about this development and the discussion of the rec center? That's going to be a special conversation tonight with the city council work session. Obviously, this is something that's in the city's jurisdiction, but you may get the opportunity to vote for this on the November ballot, assuming our council allows it on the ballot.
Well, I'm excited about the work that's been done. The committee has worked really, really hard to try to pull all of this together. They've done, they've been years in the making on this. And, we're at a point to where our rec center is really tired. The roof over that pool is it's very suspicious. The Cody Park pool, of course, is over 100 years old now. Neither one of our pools are regulation for competition, so it's time to get something done. And I think what they are bringing is prudent. It's not going to be funded by sales tax. And it's a and they're really just asking for it to go on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not asking for the city council to approve it and issue bonds. What they're asking the city council to do is to allow it to go on the ballot, let the people decide whether or not they want to do this, and then the funding would be through a sales tax. And the beauty of a sales tax is it's not just the residents of the city or Lincoln County or the district. It's going to be funded by anyone who shops here in North Platte, including those people that are driving through the city. So,
and that's my big thing too, because when we visit other communities, we're paying for their things, for their amenities. So why not get them to pay pennies for ours?
Right. Exactly. No, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, Senator Jacobson, if anybody wants to get in contact with you to discuss any legislative issues, how can they do so, sir?
Well, the best way would be to email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And if they just call that number, that would get, or if they would send me an email there, not only do I get that email, but my staff gets the email as well. I spend probably an hour a day just going through emails that I receive, and needless to say, I'm getting a lot more emails here the last few days on issues, and so it's been interesting. But I encourage that. I want to hear from constituents. I want to hear your thoughts. That's what I'm here to do, and I just continue to do so.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll be off next Monday for the big 4th of July holiday. So
correct.
Happy Independence Day to you and the missus, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks, sir.
Thank you very much. Always good to be here.
Thank you, Senator.